Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Michael and Patty Show. I'm obviously Michael.
And I'm Patty.
Where we put the real estate in real estate. I just made that up. What do you think?
I like it.
We're going to keep it then. I consider this the biggest, the best, the shiniest, the most beautiful podcast covering Prince Edward Island real estate that's ever been created. I've obviously been watching too much CNN.
It sounds like it.
If you're new to the podcast, Patty and I have been real estate agents for a combined, actually it's 42 years, because It just tripped over another day there. I keep track of it every day. 42 years of doing nothing but PEI real estate, not Ontario real estate or Michigan real estate. We've been submersed up to our necks with island real estate, and it looks like it. You might want to get a new dress.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
We've done thousands of transactions, and what makes our podcast special is we do no self-promotion. We try to be as transparent as possible so you understand PEI real estate, or for that matter, just real estate in general, because 95% of what we talk about is applicable pretty well anywhere in North America.
I would agree with that.
How much would you agree on a scale of 99 to 100?
I would say probably 90, because each market does have its own set of rules, as does Prince Edward Island, that are not applicable to other areas.
Absolutely. And we just want to do a special shout out today to our podcast hosting provider, which is RSS.com. They're nice enough to send us an email, which I actually thought was a spam or a hoax at first. And I sat on it for a week because I was just going to delete it and move on. But it basically said that our podcast is actually getting some pretty substantial listens.
Yeah.
I was going to say views, but it's not YouTube. And we've actually inspired other people to start podcasts as well. So if that happens to be you, congratulations. We'll see you on your 1,000th episode.
Yeah. And if we did inspire you to start your own podcast, reach out to us. Let us know. We would love to do a little promotion of your podcast and maybe check you out.
It's June is when we're recording this, pretty well the end of June. What is it, 20-something?
Today's the 22nd of June, 2025.
And things are booming along with the weather. Today, it's probably going to go into the 20s, which is for PEI pretty hot. That's Celsius, of course, for American friends. But there's lots of new videos on our YouTube channels, and there's probably going to be a lot of things going out in our weekly newsletters as well, so you want to subscribe to that. So let's get to it. We've carried on too long with the intro. I actually prepared a very lengthy list of things to cover on episode 90. Were you aware of that?
I am aware of it as of this morning, yes.
And we're going to ditch that. We could use it as a filler at the end. But what we're going to address today is a question I've had many times in the past, and that is, I'm listed with another agent. I would like to consider listing with you. How do I know how to find an agent that can sell my house? In this particular case, it's someone that's been on the market for a while. They're not getting any showings or offers. Nothing's happening. So they're wondering if they made the proper decision on what agent they selected for whatever reason they may have selected that agent. Knowing PEI, it's probably a brother, uncle, cousin, or some relation.
Or some relation. That's typically how they find looking to help out a family member or friend get established.
Absolutely. In the meantime, costing you potentially tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in losses and a lot of extra time, aggravation, hassle, lack of negotiating skills. So I have to give you credit for helping your friend.
Yes, and paying for their education.
Absolutely. Have you had this question before, and how many times? How many people call you up and say, Patty, I'm listed with XYZ, the property isn't selling, can we switch agents? Or should we look for an agent?
Yes, it does happen a lot. Or that seller client, may book a showing on one of your properties as an opportunity to interview you without you realizing it, and then dropping the question and just saying, look, I am looking for something going forward. However, here's my situation. So it's different ways they approach you. It's not always just a simple phone call.
Or at an open house.
Absolutely.
which is kind of the main premise to doing an open house, is to meet potential clients. It's not really to sell the house, statistically.
Statistically.
So things to look for in a PEI real estate agent, and for the most part, any real estate agent, whenever we say PEI or Prince Edward Island, substitute where you are.
Yeah, and it would work. And what we're going to discuss will apply no matter where your market is.
And this report, we've got two reports here, so about 15 or 20 pages, but we're going to go through them pretty quick, so we're not going to cover everything. But they are available from Patty or I. If you just shoot us an email, we'll send you over a copy which covers it in detail. And these were typically geared towards properties in the luxury or the higher end market, which in PEI would probably be above $750,000 Canadian. A $200,000 or $300,000 house is more of a commodity. People are going to buy them like cookies at Walmart, whereas the higher end properties, by the definition of PEI, are going to be tougher to move.
Yep, absolutely. They have longer days on market, and your marketing is so much more important.
So I'll cover the first two or three, and then you can cover some.
Sure.
Get you in there.
Sounds like a plan.
Number one, proven track record with luxury properties. Ask them how many homes they've sold over 750,000, how many they've listed, sold. Experience matters. I shouldn't be reading this verbatim.
And what else is all important in that? How many listings did they take in that price point that didn't end up selling and maybe they lost?
I sort of said that, but not very well. You don't want someone learning the ropes on your million-dollar listing.
Absolutely.
Right? So if they don't have the experience, you don't want you to become their experience, and then it ends up costing you money. Now, this is really, really important. It's something I never mention. But most of the luxury properties that I've sold, I never told the story to the newspapers or magazines or whatever that did an article on some of these properties. But it wasn't an exciting story. It wasn't like I was advertising in Dubai or I was sitting in a shopping center in Hong Kong and met a rich Hong Kong billionaire and he flew to PEI to buy the property. All the properties that I've sold that are high end, I've sold to my existing client base.
Yes. Yeah. And you do have a very full database of higher end contacts, I would say, because it's not necessarily.
As do you.
Yes.
And the biggest challenge is what? It's finding them product here, because we really don't have a high end market here per se.
Yes. But I would say you, having been in the business a lot longer, well, 12 years longer than I have, and you have been, you know, mainly working the waterfront, recreational, luxury, you know, property, real estate on PEI, I would say your reach goes far further than probably any, and I'm not giving you a little promotion, although it sounds like it, but you do have the sphere, and that has value.
The $100 check will be in the mail tomorrow plug, so I do appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm being honest.
The other challenge, though, is even if you know those people, these people are typically higher-end professionals, and you're just not going to call them up, you know, take the most expensive house in the history of PEI that's ever sold for just under $5 million. You're not going to just call them up and say, hey, I got a house that just listed for $5 million. Do you want to buy it? No, that deal took 9 months to negotiate. And none of us got tired. We just knew that was the process. And when you get into higher-end real estate or commercial real estate, what they say is they say to enjoy the journey. It's not about the destination. It's about getting from the initial conversation to them moving in or renting that house out because they probably have four other houses. So negotiating is key. The ability to handle these people and be able to communicate with them at their level or their DISC score, which we'll get into later, is really important. You just don't call them up and they live down the street and they're going to go for a showing. Chances are they're flying in. This guy flew in from Texas. I picked him up in my version of a PEI limousine, which was a rusty half-ton Ford pickup truck. and they bought that property. Many, many other stories. Other thing you're looking for, obviously, is top shelf marketing. You need that 4K video. In some cases, you're going to use drone footage. You're not going to use it if it makes the property look horrible. If there's a nuclear power plant next door, maybe windmills that the people don't want to see. Cinematic tours. You're also going to get into paid social media marketing, whether that's video ads or Google ads or wherever. International listing exposure, professional feature sheets, which those are kind of a thing of the past, but we do have them in digital format. Ask to see their previous work. If it looks like it was done on a flip phone, remember those?
Yes.
I love my flip phone. Or with MS Paint, move on. Obviously, they're using some older terms here. I'll let you get to this next one because you're extremely qualified at negotiating.
Yeah, so high-level negotiation skills. It's something that's important when you're looking for a real estate agent. And again, we're specifically talking about Prince Edward Island, but it could apply anywhere. What negotiation designation do they have? Is it just that they say, I know how to negotiate, I'm a good negotiator? Well, what education do you have to back that? Again, depending on what kind of product, what kind of real estate market you're looking to enter into, you want to make sure that if you're a seller interviewing or looking for a real estate professional, that, you know, you're going to be paying them a service fee for, that they have the credentials and the training and the experience to support what they're going to be charging you for their services. So look for designations. There's designations. I know Michael and I both have MCNE, which is our Master's in Certified Negotiating Expert. There's also other programs. Our office, and it is almost everyone, because we've just taken on a new agent, has their PREN, so Professional Real Estate Negotiation Designation. And I know that these courses exist and are available. They're even more hyper-specific. You can get negotiation courses specifically for buyers, specifically for sellers, and negotiation training courses and designations specifically for dealing with offers and how to write offers and what the conversation looks like based on what side of the transaction. Negotiation skills, I cannot stress, and anyone that comes into my office, it's one of the first things that we end up doing is getting them set up with training, because that's what our clients want, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So global and local reach. They should know how to market to both the guy up the road and the investor in Ontario or overseas. Do they advertise out of province markets or syndicate internationally? If not, your listing is invisible to most buyers. Not every buyer is out looking aggressively. They may be tossing the idea around. A person wakes up every single day with a new idea. And our job as real estate professionals is to perhaps get that inventory in front of even those who do not know they want to move to PEI, so that they can start maybe the process like you were talking about, Michael. It can take up to 9 months. It's planting a seed and then watering it and nurturing it and the negotiations back and forth.
One of the things about marketing is it's all about delivering the right message to the right person at the right time. So you don't want to be using the shotgun method, which a lot of agents and brokers use, where they're advertising everywhere, because the advertising budget gets washed down. Patty and I know, because we do extensive market data research, where those buyers are coming from, what they do for a living, what areas they live in, how old are they. So we can take it and laser focus on those areas to generate the buyers. They're going to be looking at those higher end luxury properties. And it's the same in any market. Any market you go to, there is going to be your stereotypical buyer profile. And those are the people you need to be marketing to, not the shotgun approach.
Absolutely. Online presence that doesn't suck. Search their name, check their website, their YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn. Not everyone has to be on everything, but they should be on something. If they don't show up professionally online, they won't make your home show up either. So something to keep in mind. YouTube matters big time. Your agent should be on YouTube with real substance, not just random slideshows or cookie cutter walkthroughs. Look for the real channel with subscribers, views, quality content, and consistency. Long-term presence is key. Has their content aged well? Are they producing helpful, well-edited, and engaging videos that reach buyers beyond PEI? Your property should be marketed through YouTube like it's a mini movie, which is very important, not a dull hallway tour. And if they don't know how to market, how to leverage the second largest search engine in the world, not only are they missing a massive opportunity, but so are you as a seller. So something to just definitely keep in mind when you're looking for a real estate professional, and also on their YouTube channel, what kind of inventory are they promoting? Is this someone that you happen to have crossed paths with to sell your $800,000 home? And yet when you look on their YouTube channel, and again, nothing against somebody starting out because you have to start somewhere, but all they seem to have are maybe mini homes, or they're in the opposite area or location of where your property is, requires a little bit of a conversation.
I think that that's good advice, but I think from the luxury or the waterfront market, I don't think you need to worry about the agent that you're hiring lives 5 minutes from the house.
No.
Because you're not going to have 100 showings on $1 million or $3 million house, if there was such a thing in PEI, there is rarely. You're going to get one showing a year or every 6 months typically.
But you should know if this agent only covers this specific area.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
All they are.
If they're an agent that's too lazy to drive the island, because we have had that. We've had agents say, well, I live in wherever, XYZ, and I don't travel more than 5 miles from my home. Absolutely. They're not going to service your listing. So it should be a question you ask from the beginning. Do you
Yes.
service the whole island? Do you service my area? Absolutely. Online presence doesn't suck. You covered that. I think that's such a good topic. We could reiterate it.
Yep.
This one here, discretion when needed. I have had clients that, oh, I want to sell my house, but keep it a secret. We don't want it in the newspapers. We don't want it in the magazines. We don't want it advertised locally. Although that service can be provided, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, because my job as a marketing person or a marketing company per se is to make a big bang and get this on the front page of the newspapers, the magazines, in front of people and social media. It's not to hide it as a secret. And eventually, it's going to get out anyway. The last property that I was marketing, you know, the vendor didn't want it in the newspaper. The newspapers called me up. They printed a story on it anyway. They said they're going to do it with or without my approval. And of course, he wasn't too excited about this. And I told him, like, what's the point of keeping it a secret? Who are the people that are going to buy these properties before anybody else? They're going to be people that already live here. No, they visit the island, or they probably already own property here. It's not going to be someone driving around in their Lamborghini in Dubai. In most cases, it's going to be someone already familiar with or connected to Prince Edward Island.
I would agree. Or somebody that's already sold on PEI. And sometimes it could be they went when they were a child with their family on a vacation, and it's always been a dream, and they are just waiting for the opportunity or the right time to visit or come back or make that purchase.
And you're going to be there to help them fulfill their dream.
Absolutely.
Clear, honest, no BS communication. That's pretty straightforward. I think I'm better at that than you. I just tell people, your house is overpriced. I don't care about your story. Because you know they always have a story. Our house is the best. It's the brightest. It's got the best architect, the best views, the best property, best soil types. It's overpriced. How would you tell someone that?
I refer back to my CMA, my comparative market analysis, because again, it's not my number. It is, yes, my interpretation of the data. This is what the data is showing. There's never typically, unless you're in a city, a town with multiple of the same homes, going to be 100% direct comparable. So you have to get into adjustments and, you know, again, I send off as much information as I possibly can. It is a sliding scale, so I let them know prices can go up or down, but if it's overpriced, it's overpriced. I always refer back to my CMA summary.
And get them to initial it.
Yeah, well, I send it in an email along with having a conversation with them about it so that I can reference on this date and let's do an up-to-date one. And again, if they want an up-to-date one, it could end up showing that the market went down. And that's why, because again, it's a sliding scale. It depends on what properties have transacted and what dollar amount they transacted at.
What are your thoughts on a new form I'm thinking about coming out with for listing people that are overpriced? So they're going to sign this form and it's going to say, I'm overpriced, my house is never going to sell, and I'm going to nag you to death in 6 months because it hasn't and threaten to list with a different agent. I'll put it in legal terms, of course, because that's what happens. They list for too much. You tell them it's too much. 6 months or a year or 2 or 3 years go by, and of course, it's your fault, and they forget about that initial conversation. Let's move on.
I was going to say, too, as much as it's nice to be that agent receiving the call, looking to, you know, I'm not satisfied with my current agent, it's not selling, I'm not getting any showings, it's a really important, because I know we do have fellow realtors that listen to our podcast episodes, who set the price? You know, that's important. So, I mean, it works both ways with the relationship. This isn't, as much as we're trying to educate and advise sellers on what they should be looking for in a real estate professional, it's also, did you listen to your realtor? You know, who set the price? And that's a good question.
That's why they sign the form,
because
yes, we have proof. Know how to sell a particular type of property. Selling an oceanfront luxury home, a heritage home, a high-tech custom build. I'm going to add farm or commercial. You need to know how to sell these different types of properties. Farms are very, very specialized. They're so specialized that if you have one to sell, I want you to make sure that you never call me, because I don't know anything about farms. The first time I saw a barn is when I drove to PEI. I'm a city person. Patty likes farms.
No, I have an agent that deals with farms. And when I was speaking with him a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me everything that was involved or smart questions that a realtor who is dealing in that particular niche market, I would never even have thought of some of the questions. So,
and it's the same thing with luxury and high end. Those buyers are looking for something different than someone looking for a house in the city. And commercial, of course, is an absolute special field. Thankfully, I was involved in it one way or another when I was young. I love commercial, but there really isn't a big market for it here in PEI. Not a discount broker. And I was going to mention this to you earlier. If you're sitting with an agent and they're talking about possibly considering maybe listing your property and they're bending over backwards, they're discounting their commission, they're going to throw a free car in if the house sells, they're going to come by every week and they're going to clean your house for the listing. What does that tell you about their negotiating abilities if they can't even negotiate their own commission?
They wouldn't be able to negotiate on my behalf with another, especially if they had a savvy agent, if that's who's representing the seller, and let's say you're the agent representing the buyer in the negotiation, they wouldn't stand a chance.
What's the best negotiating tool in a conversation?
Time.
That's the best negotiating tool, but the best negotiating tool in a conversation is silence.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because people are uncomfortable with silence, and I've had conversations where I've sat there for 5 minutes, said nothing. And then they'll say, are you going to say something? I was actually just waiting for them to volunteer information, which most of the time they will, because it become uncomfortable.
Most people will only hold a silence for approximately 30 seconds before they crack. And you can test this. Most are uncomfortable in silence. So you're absolutely right.
Cheap commissions often mean cheap results. You get what you pay for. You would know that. You live at those dollar stores and then end up buying things 3 and 4 times.
Okay, sure.
If the other thing is, the marketing dollars have to come from somewhere. So if you're not getting paid to do the job, you're not going to commit a bunch of money to earn nothing. So just keep that in mind. The other thing is, I just put this together this morning. I don't even know what's in it.
No, it's pretty funny. It's good content, though.
So thank you.
Professional credentials. So
credentials to look for. Make sure your agent has an education. They just didn't take the initial training.
Thank you for finishing my sentence.
You're
welcome. Did a very good job at it. So some of the credentials, if you are a listener who is a seller considering, well, what do I look for? What do I ask for? I'm not in the real estate world. I have no idea what credentials my, agent should have or what I should be looking for. So there's one credential called CRS, which I know Michael and I both have our Certified Residential Specialist. This isn't a day course. It's not even a two-day course. It is to do with the level of production that you end up doing, hours and
sales,
hours
volume,
of course.
Units.
Absolutely. So this is something that you have to work on, and it does take time before you're able to say, hey, I'm a CRS agent. And we're also in the top 2% of realtors in North America. I just want to make sure I'm saying my state.
I think we were the top 1%, but half of us died off.
Yes, just with production, top sales within different markets, they typically end up being somebody with their CRS designation. So CNE and MCNE, this was a training course that we had done many years ago.
So
Master's Certified Negotiating Expert, ABR, Accredited Buyer's Representative, SRES, again, that's SRES, Seniors Real Estate Specialist, MRED, Master's in Real Estate Development or similar business marketing education, ePro, what this is a Certified Online and Tech Marketing, LEAP, LEAP, Leadership Education and Performance Training Certification, CCIM, Certified Commercial Investment Member. These credentials aren't just letters. They show your agent takes their craft seriously and invests in ongoing learning. So if they don't know what half these mean, they're not in the top tier.
And the other thing I want to reiterate is, and this is probably checkbox number one, is look for that expert. And an expert, by our definition, is someone with 10,000 hours experience in the PEI real estate market. It would be great if it was specifically in that luxury or waterfront market, which works out to be about 5 years full-time, 2,000 hours a year, right?
Yes.
So they're not hobbyists or they're not dabbling. And the other thing we're looking for is 1,000 transactions, which sounds like a lot, but we came up with that number because that's what typically appraisers have to do before they get their accreditation. So if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us.
I agree.
And the funny thing is, I was reading one of my favorite books for the second or third time, The One Thing by Gary Keller. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yes, I've read it a couple times.
And he says the same thing. I don't think he mentions the 1,000 transactions, but he does mention the 10,000 hours. He uses it as an illustration. If you're going to a doctor, do you want someone that just has like an hour's experience or someone that's been doing it for a few years that's done 1,000 operations? If you're hiring a real estate agent, especially to sell higher-end homes, understanding DISC. You're a resident DISC expert. We'll let you address this and just summarize it. As I said, the whole document, actually there's a couple documents we can send you via email that cover it a little more extensively. But knowing DISC, and actually Gary Keller introduced a lot of this, as an initial methodology to understand who you're dealing with more effectively.
Yeah, so DISC score is a test that there's even free online test that you can do to determine what you are. It's a measurement that we use in, I know, our sales office, and I know you use it, Michael. And each letter stands for a different personality type. Predominantly, we typically have two dominant and two that are our less dominant personality types. And we're a combination. There's different scores. The reason you should, as an agent, understand DISC, or why your agent should understand DISC, is, and again, I'm just going to quickly summarize, communication is everything. So if you're not speaking the language of a potential buyer, and you are, as a seller looking for that strong listing agent to represent you, they should have knowledge in this, because if they're, say, a high C personality, which is very analytical, you know, those are your accountants, and all they want to do is push the numbers on your property, whereas you have somebody that might be an I personality who is, you know, very inspiring, they're influential, they just care about the story, they don't care about the numbers, they may turn that buyer off and they're going to look for another property. So communication, selling a home, is 50% marketing, 50% psychology. So if your agent doesn't know how to tailor their communication to different personality types, they're shooting blind. DISC helps them know when to be direct and when to be detailed, when to slow down and when to build a rapport. Buyers aren't all the same. In fact, one buyer may find, again, like I had said, facts and comparables and spreadsheets very important, where another one would want the story. What's the history of the property? What's the history of the land? What's maybe the story of the subdivision? How did this all come to be? It helps in negotiations. If your agent knows the buyer's agent is a high D, and again, now this gets to the negotiations between the real estate professionals involved, they will know how to negotiate to satisfy that other agent representing the buyer to ensure that they are able to hold on to that buyer, that sale for you, to help walk through the process. So they'll cut through the small talk, go straight to the numbers. If the buyer is a high S, they'll need time to reassure and guide. DISC helps your agent influence outcomes without manipulation, just smart strategy. It also builds trust faster. People who understand them, a DISC-aware agent, can adapt their tone and deliver to make potential buyers and sellers feel heard and respected. That trust leads to smoother deals and definitely fewer headaches. It makes smart marketing smarter. Even the listing description, video script, and staging choices can be subtly tailored to attract specific personality styles. So it's much more than just you're looking for a real estate professional who is, you know, putting it on the market, taking some pictures, writing a little blurb about the property, putting up a sign, and then sitting back and waiting for it to sell. When you wonder what the service fees that you're paying your real estate professional, or maybe not, why are you not? Why is this agent only charging whatever their discounted commission is? It may be because they don't have all this additional training behind them. And that might be why another agent might be charging a little bit more, because they have these skills. And it's not something, we don't have time to sit there and share everything with the seller as to, just so you know, I have this and I have that and this is my training. They should be able to deliver it in a short little summary. But just know, as a seller, you're not getting, if you're hiring a true selling real estate professional, there's a lot more that they have going on. If they truly are, like we said, a professional with 10,000 hours with the training, there's a lot more that is behind the scenes that you probably aren't even aware of. I know my seller clients, and they shouldn't have to. They know they're hiring a professional. I've assured them that I have my training. I have my accreditations beside my name and my signature, to hopefully reassure them so that they do trust me and trust that they are hiring a professional. It makes marketing smarter. Again, for a listing description, video script, and staging choices, they can be subtly tailored specifically to the personality styles. For example, high C buyers, conscientious, they love floor plans and detailed specs. High I buyers, they want a visual storytelling and lifestyle story. The bottom line here from all of this is, a DISC-aware agent doesn't just throw your listing at the wall and hope someone bites. They shape every step of the process to resonate with the humans involved. And in a high-end real estate where the buyer pool is smaller and more selective, that emotional intelligence is money in the bank.
Well done. If I may just add one thing just to clarify. So I had a C client, which is the engineer brain, right?
Correct. Yes.
Have a proposal for a property. So this property included a golf course and townhouses and residential lots and all kinds of fancy stuff. And he was proposing it to be sold as a project to a potential investor. Along with this meeting, he presented to me, I think it was a 2,000 or 3,000 page study he had done by a development company in the States that develops these conceptual plans. So I looked at this, being a high D, we just want everything in a single sentence. I said, if I'm going to put this in front of my investors, what I need you to do is take that 2,000 to 3,000 page report and write it on the back of an envelope how this makes sense for anyone to put millions of dollars into this particular project.
Was he able to do it?
I never heard back from him again, and the project was never developed because it didn't make any sense. And it's just like Warren Buffett says, and I believe in this 110%. If someone proposes a business to me, and when you're buying a luxury home, kind of like buying a business, there's lots of moving parts and stuff. If it can't be explained to me in simple terms and a few simple sentences, I'm not interested. And it's the same when you're marketing a property. Don't give a D personality a 40-page feature sheet. All they want to know is it is on a white sandy beach. It has a view of a lighthouse, Confederation Bridge. It's on a paved road, and I can use it year-round and rent it out for 20 grand a week.
Yeah, they just want the specs and point form. They're not interested in they're not even interested in the story the way an I personality would be. They just give me the specs so that I can quickly review it and make my decision.
Moving on.
Okay.
And there's no way we're going to get through all this stuff. So we're going to probably do this in two segments because our next segment is going to be on how long will my property be on the market?
Yeah. So this would be part one and then we'll do a part two.
Maybe.
Okay.
We may just stop this podcast because we don't have any viewers or listeners.
No.
But it is good to hear agents are listening and we've doubled that by 100%. There's now two of them.
It's pretty funny.
Why local long-term experience in PEI market matters? How many times do you see an agent come to the province from Toronto or BC or Alberta or maybe the States and claim they've got 40 years experience, but they neglect to mention none of that's in PEI? PEI is a very special market, just like the Halifax or the Moncton, Toronto, Edmonton markets. They're all different. If I'm driving down a street in Charlottetown or Somerset, I can tell you what street not to pass because your values are going to go down and houses are going to sell for less and be on the market for more. So what you're looking for is you're looking for an agent, getting back to our initial question, what am I looking for in a real estate agent? That is PEI, not Toronto, Vancouver, Halifax, centric, and that's where their experience are from. They know the buyers in the back roads. There's a lot more to each one of these, of course. They have connections that build over time. These are connections looking for property here, not in the Yukon. So they need to have that island tie.
They understand PEI's pace and psychology. Outsiders might push for aggressive tactics that will backfire here, and that's 100% true.
But that comes back to negotiating technique, too, because negotiating techniques, as we both learned, are also not just based on a discord. They're based on the place that the person lives on the planet, their ethnicity, the way they were brought up, the way they negotiate. You're not going to negotiate with someone from China or Iraq or Poland or Russia the same way you're going to deal with an American or even a Canadian, which is different.
And also the different age generations.
Oh, absolutely. We don't want to get into that.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, but the negotiation, highly specific. And again, all the accreditations help with that process.
And so the younger one, you could say there's like 50 places you can plug in your iPod,
yes.
Your iPad.
They've lived the cycles. An agent with decades of PEI experience has seen market crashes, out-of-province buying frenzies, zone shifts, IRAC changes, which is the Island Regulatory Appeals Commission, here on PEI, cottage booms, and the rise of Airbnbs. They've adapted, learned, and lasted because they're still in the business.
And stubborn.
And that kind of staying power says a lot. They know what sells and what sits. So what looks like a million-dollar dream to a Toronto buyer might be an overpriced swampland here in PEI. So a long-term PEI agent knows what's realistic and what's not. They'll tell you. They'll be honest with you. So the bottom line to this part of our episode is if your agent doesn't live, breathe, and understand PEI real estate at the deepest level, they're learning at your expense. So thank you for educating them. I'm sure they're greatly appreciative of your investment in their future endeavor in real estate. So with high-end homes, that can be a six-figure mistake.
Well said, Patty, and I think a lot of people underappreciate that, or they think I'll just hire some random agent that a friend of my friend actually saw this agent walk by in the parking lot at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the solution. Pay attention to what was said in this podcast. Definitely get a hold of these documents because we're only covering probably 20% of what's in them, but we want to keep this podcast short and to the point and share as much information as we possibly can. And as always, if you do have any questions about this episode, PEI real estate, or just PEI in general, coming from two people that moved here from Ontario that have done this for over four decades now combined, feel free to reach out to us in a text, email, or a phone call. Let's wrap it up. But before we do, be sure to follow the podcast, give us a five-star rating and some feedback.
Absolutely. And send us any questions that you may have. Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Michael and Patty Show, otherwise known as MAPS, the PEI real estate podcast that helps guide and navigate you through the buying and selling of PEI real estate and a little bit of everything else PEI, some of the rules that you need to know, some fun facts about PEI. We even covered episodes where we talk about the island slang and stuff. So there's so much content and information.
You forgot to mention that we put the real in PEI real estate. Everybody have a great day and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.